Today, we're discussing transporting patients. This is a topic that's come up from our community of new grad nurses as an area that you want to learn more about. Taking your patient off the ward can be nerve-wracking, so listen in for some tips and considerations before you head off with your patient. Today, we're going to be discussing transporting patients within the hospital, delegating transport for your patient, when not to transport, and then we'll touch on some things you should bring with you if you do have to transport your patient. So why do we transport patients? There's a few reasons why you might have to move your patient around the hospital. Number one, for diagnostics, tests, or interventions. Patients may need to go to radiology for scans or interventions, and you might be the healthcare worker to take them there. Number two, to get them access to higher levels of care. If your patient becomes unstable, you may need to take them to ICU or a different unit so they can receive the care that they need. And number three, for access and flow considerations. So patients may need to be moved to different care areas based on their needs or designation. So if your patient becomes ALC or ALCN, they may need to move to a different department. Let's talk about which healthcare workers can transport patients. There's a lot of things to keep in mind with regards to scope of other healthcare workers and transporting patients. Let's start with HCAs or healthcare aides. They can transport stable patients within a facility. They do not transport patients with IV infusions, oxygen, or monitors. They have their CPR and BLS certifications. Healthcare support workers, or HCSWs, can also transport stable patients without infusions or monitors, but cannot assist with any sort of mobility or transfers. They also cannot transport anyone to the morgue or take discharge patients out to their vehicle after discharge. They do not have CPR or BLS. Patient porters can transport stable patients and assist with mobility and transfers as long as there's nurse support. They must have nurse support if the patient's on oxygen, infusions, or requiring monitoring. They do not have their CPR or BLS. LPNs can transport patients with lines, oxygen, or monitors, but the caveat here is that the patients must be stable and predictable. RNs can transport critically ill patients. And if we talk about students like ESNs, remember that they can only provide care when there's a practicing NP, RN, or RPN physically present to provide regulatory supervision. They may not transport patients as they may be solo off the unit and need to provide care. If you start your shift knowing that your patient has a test or will need to be transferred off the unit during your shift, I want you to think about a few things. Number one, how stable is your patient? And remember that that can change. If you're unsure whether to consider your patient as stable or unstable, there's a lot of resources you can check out. I recommend looking at the Interior Health Acuity Indicator document for medical or surgical inpatients. I also want you to think about patient accoutrements. So what is going to need to go with your patient? Are there a lot of pumps attached? Do they have a chest tube? Are they on a bariatric bed or do they need a stretcher? Do they require a mech lift? Think about these things before you set up transfer. And can any infusions or lines be capped to make it easier to transport them? Thirdly, how long are they going to be off the unit? For example, if they're going to go for a dialysis appointment, they could be gone for hours. So you might need to adjust med times or organize a bagged lunch for them. But maybe they're only going for a quick x-ray and they won't even need to get off the stretcher. Lastly, what resources do you have on the unit to help today? Is there a porter at your hospital? Could the care aide go? Are you the only RN on this shift? Or how can you adjust the patient load to allow another RN to leave on transport for an extended time if necessary? Let's talk about when you shouldn't transfer your patient. Sometimes it might not be safe. I know this is tricky because often there are set appointment times for your patient that you must make. If you can, alert the MRP to any delays in diagnostic care. First of all, consider the risk versus benefit of the transport. If they're going for an ankle x-ray, for example, but they're having escalating behaviors, maybe the priority should be to de-escalate and then have their ankle x-rayed. Another example would be if your patient's actively vomiting at the time that they need to go down for a scan. It might be risky to send them then because they could aspirate off the unit. It might be more beneficial to control their nausea and vomiting before sending them. Number two, can the test or reason for transport be done on the unit? If your patient is too critically ill for transport, could the chest x-ray, for example, to determine NG tube placement be done portably? I want to leave you with a note of caution here, though. Portable x-rays are often of poorer quality, and whenever possible, patients should go to the department for imaging. Immobility is not a reason to not send your patient to radiology. They have mech lifts in the department, but sometimes radiology techs might need manpower to move the patients. So if your patient is considered a heavy transfer, consider going with them to support radiology. What other supports and resources can you find to help? If you have other critical patients who require your one-on-one attention, maybe it's not the best time to go down with another patient for a test. Communication with your team is huge. Make sure that you can safely leave your unit if you have to go on transport. Okay, so we've determined that you should go with your patient on transport. You've called the porter to help you get there. And yes, you should always still call a porter if that resource is available to you. Remember, they are the people movers. They're not the people carers. So you are in charge of your patient still. So what should you bring? Well, what will you need to do while you're off the unit? Will your patient need vital signs done? Probably. Will they need any meds? Do you anticipate anything that they'll need? At minimum, please remember to bring a portable suction machine. Why? Every patient is at risk of losing their airway due to vomiting. I personally wouldn't want to get stuck in an elevator, for example, with a vomiting patient and not have access to suction. You may also need a monitor or vitals machine to assess your patient while you're away from the unit. Sometimes longer CTs or MRIs can be helpful. It could be helpful to have a sat probe on them so that you can be alerted to heart rate changes or drops in SpO2. Bring oxygen. So many of the stretchers have portable oxygen tanks on them, but make sure that they're full. A D cylinder full of oxygen, which is the typical ones on the stretchers, they hold about 425 liters of oxygen, which, if your patient is at 5 liters per minute, will only last you 1.4 hours. Ensure that you have enough to last through the transport and anticipate delays. Will your patient require any PRNs for this transport? They will need to be still if they're getting certain imaging done, and nausea, vomiting, and pain can interfere. So you can take PRN meds with you if it's required. Lastly, have a plan. I'm an ER nurse by trade, so my brain always says plan for the worst, but hope for the best. So how can you call for help when you get to where you're going? If your patient suddenly codes en route, where's the nearest crash cart or code blue button? If you're suddenly in an unsafe situation, what is your escape route? So that's it for today. Transporting patients is a really big topic, but hopefully we've been able to break it down for you into some easy steps to remember. So remember to consider the scope of other healthcare workers when you're needing to transport your patients. Think about what your patient will need when they're off the unit and how you can leave the unit safely if you need to. Consider situations when you might postpone transport until another time. And always be thinking about ways you and the patient can stay safe while you're off the unit. Prepare and think ahead. And remember that transporting patients, like any other skill, takes time to get comfortable doing. If you have any ideas for future topics for the podcast, or if you have questions for your regional educator, you can send us an email to newgradprogrampo@interiorhealth.ca.